So if you will join me, I'm going to pray, and then we'll look into God's word briefly before we have a time of prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this day. We thank you that we are still able to meet freely, and we pray that you'd help us to cherish these times, to use them to honor you, to give glory to you, to give praise to you, and to be just reminded that we live in a world that is dying and seems like it's dying very quickly. Lord, please help us to be a light of the gospel of Jesus Christ to those around us. And I thank you, and I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 18, the first 8 verses. We'll actually look back into chapter 17 also. We're going to be talking about being persistent in prayer. And being reminded that the basis for that is, in at least what Christ says at the end of verse 8, also just being a faithful people, faithful in what we do, faithful in what we say. So let me just read the first 8 verses of chapter 18 of Luke. Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying, "There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, 'Give me legal protection from my opponent.' And for a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, 'Even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection, lest by continually coming she wear me out.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, shall not God bring about justice for his elect, who cry to him day and night, and will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?'" I don't know about you, but if you listen to the news, if you watch the news, there's just all sorts of things going on. And frankly, it's very disturbing. There are some things that are good here and there, but very disturbing for the most part. And there's little that we read or see that gives you any hope for what's going on in the world, just what might be the outcome. But there are people that are out there who speak the truth, who are encouraging, and even though things seem dark, it is an encouraging thing to see and hear those people. And I think this chapter this little section we're going to look at is just an encouragement to persist, to not to lose heart, not to get all worried and all upset, because we know that if God is our God, and we're trusting in him, he's going to take care of us somehow, some way. We don't know how it's going to be exactly, but we know that. And we have that assurance from this passage. But I'd like to start back in chapter 17, because you notice it says, "Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart." So, like I said, I'd like to go back to chapter 17 and begin with verse 20. It says, "Now having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is, for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst.' And he said to the disciples," and I won't read that part, but he's answering the Pharisees, but he's also talking to the disciples. And their question was about when is the kingdom coming? And of course, for the Jews, they look for judgment upon those who were not Christians, those who were not Jewish, and they look for prosperity and a kingdom where they would be kind of in charge. They were looking for a king, as we learn in John chapter 6. They thought Christ was going to be their king who was going to deliver them. Well, Christ's answer is in two parts, and we're just going to kind of breeze through this and then come back to chapter 18. You notice he says, The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed. So there's something that's they're not going to see, they're not going to know it, but he says to them, behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. Christ is in their midst. So whatever they would look forward to is related to him, and they must focus on that. Now that's the speaking to the Pharisees. But then it says, and he said to the disciples, the days will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they said, and they will say to you, look here and look there, look here, do not go away, and do not run after them. So he's telling them, he's actually here, he's giving them signs, but he's going to explain what he means by that. And they will say to you, look here, look there, look here, do not go away, and do not run after them. For just as the lightning, when it flashes out of one part of the sky, shines to the other part of the sky, so will the Son of Man be in his day. So you'll see it, and but you won't be able to put it together. It's going to happen so fast. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. So preceding any signs, and what's most important is what's going to happen to him. Christ is going to suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And then he's going to give some examples of things that happened in the past about judgment. And just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it shall also be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. So he gives the example for the day from the days of Noah. He also gives an example from the days of Lot. And it was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. So again, people were doing whatever they were doing, and judgment came, the day that Lot left the city. On that day, let not one who is on the housetop and whose goods are in the house go down to take them away. And likewise, let not one who is in the field turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Now here he doesn't give any explanation. He just says, remember Lot's wife. And we know that what they were told is don't look back. And she looked back, and she turned to a pillar of salt. She received instant judgment for her disobedience to the Lord. Whosoever keeps his life shall lose it, and whoever loses his life shall preserve it alive. I tell you, on that night there will be two men in one bed. One will be taken, and the other will be left. There will be two women grinding at the same place. One will be taken, and the other will be left. And I'm going to read what's in the margin as part of the text. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other will be left. And answering, they said to him, where, Lord? And he said to them, where the body is, there also will the vultures be. He's given them some examples of what happened in the past, and he's telling them about what they need to do right now. And the main thing is, you notice, verse 33, whoever seeks to keep his life shall lose it, and whoever loses his life shall preserve it alive. There's a principle that is throughout Scripture that if we want to serve ourselves, it's all lost. But if we want to serve God and we want to serve others, we gain everything back, because we're not seeking to serve really ourselves, but to serve God and to serve those who are around us. And that's the blessing of life, is to be reminded what we're here for. We're not here to get things for ourselves. We're not here to serve ourselves. We're here to serve others and ultimately to serve Christ, and to be reminded he is coming. And when he comes, there will be judgment, and it will be swift. And the way he ends the chapter, they want to know where this is going to happen. And Jesus says, where the body is, there also will the vultures be gathered. So in other words, he's saying, if you look around, you'll observe what's going to happen. And they've been talking about the kingdom of God coming and when the Son of Man will come. And so they have this implanted, they have this spoken to them. They don't know what's going to happen. And maybe they're wondering. And that's why I think it says in verse 1 of chapter 18, "Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart." We can be wondering what's going to go on with the things that are happening around us. And it can be disturbing to us. It can be challenging to us. It can cause us great worry and despair. But he says they ought to pray and not to lose heart. That's what we have to do. We have to be reminded that instead of falling apart, instead of just trying to run away from everything, we ought to pray and we ought not to lose heart. He gives an example here for us. "There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, 'Give me legal protection from my opponent.' And for a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, 'Even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection, lest by continually coming she wear me out.'" Just a wonderful example. You know, we've seen that around us. There are people who they keep coming to you, or they keep somebody coming to somebody else, and you hear about it. And what finally happens? The person that's getting pestered breaks down. There's no, "Okay, what do you want?" And they give it to who, you know, whatever they want. They break down. They're finished. They can't take it anymore. Verse 6. "And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now shall not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them speedily.'" And I'm going to stop there because we'll look at the end of verse 8 in a minute. We need to be reminded that by comparison, God is not an unjust judge, and he's not being pestered by a woman who can't get help with an adversary. But we do know that we have things that are around us that trouble us, that bother us. And what God would have us do is to come to him, and he says, "Now shall not God bring about justice for his elect?" He will bring justice. It's not a question that has a no answer. It's a yes answer. Will he not bring about justice for his elect? But you notice how they are qualified. The righteous, his elect, are qualified. Who cry to him day and night. That's what we should be doing, crying day and night for those things that are going on around us that we don't understand, we bothered by, we're upset by, whatever it is. We should be crying out day and night. And what will he do? And will he delay long over them? Well, for us, we may think he does. We may think that, "Oh, Lord, I've been praying and praying and praying and nothing's happened." But he says, he asks that question, will he delay long over them? "I tell you that he will bring about justice for them speedily." Two things. He will bring about justice. He will. And maybe we don't understand that. Maybe we won't even actually see it for ourselves, the justice that we think ought to be brought. But he says that he will bring about it, and he will bring about speedily. And for us, again, speedily may not be what we think is speedily. We want it to happen now, while we're here, while we're asking the question, while we're crying out. And that may not be what we see, but he will for his elect as a people. But he ends with the last part of verse 8, that's why I put in there, be faithful, be persistent in prayer. "However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" This is really the basis for our being persistent in prayer, is having faith. And when Christ comes, That will be not a day when there will be many who will have faith on this earth. It will be a day, a time when there are people who just running amok, doing evil and wicked, terrible things. But he asks the question, will he find faith on the earth? That could be translated the faith, but however you look at it, the whole idea is, will there be people who are trusting in him, looking to him? And that day will come, and there won't be many people who will be looking to him. So it's just an encouragement to us to be reminded that though the things going on around us seem pretty terrible, and I know for us right now, sitting here right now, we're fine. But if you read things, if you look at things, you know that there are people who are doing and purposing to do wicked, terrible, horrible things. And there are people who are around us that know not the Lord, and they need trust and faith in Christ. And we're here to be that light to them and to know for ourselves that he's going to take care of us no matter what. So with that, I'll turn it over to Jim.